Give your attention, please, now to the reading of God's Word from Romans in the 12th chapter. And I remind you that this is the eternally true, trustworthy, inerrant Word of the living God. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Pray with me, please. And Father, I ask for the abounding grace and the gift of your Holy Spirit to be poured out upon us, giving us ears to hear and hearts to believe and respond, wills to obey. Lord, work your wisdom and will among us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I appreciate Larry's prayer for Jonathan and Cynthia Ummel. I meant to say something at the beginning, but I'll do that now to give an update. Jonathan and his father are in Billings, Montana at the moment. They plan to leave in the morning and make the long trek here to Linden, arriving tomorrow evening, kind of late. And then Tuesday morning, they drive to SeaTac to pick up Cynthia and little Timothy. And also Jonathan's younger sister, Bailey, is her name. She just graduated from high school. She's flying out to help Cynthia with Timothy on the plane and to be here for a few days just to help get things settled. They'll be living across the street and across the sidewalk from the Hilverdas in Dave and Dorothy Van Dyke's condo. Dave has graciously moved out since he's married Dorothy and is living in her house. And he has given this home to the Ummels, completely furnished, completely stocked with everything down to washcloths. So what grace and what gift from God in planning all of this out just so perfectly. And so it is that Jonathan is able to drive here with whatever earthly possessions they need in the back seat of a Prius. I'm a little jealous. I wonder what it's like to travel through life that unencumbered. But partly also the grace of God through the Van Dykes. So the anticipation, of course, is that we'll meet them. I'll introduce them next Sunday morning, and then they'll begin ministry among us. Keep them in prayer. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit and about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. To all who have received Jesus as their Savior from sin and their Lord of life, to them, Jesus has given His Holy Spirit. And to all whom the Spirit has been given, to each one of them, the Spirit gives at least one spiritual gift, and usually two or more, and this as a manifestation of the Spirit's power and presence in our life for the common good, for the good of the body, for the benefit of the whole church. And all of this is gift. It's grace, divine grace. In other words, being a part of a Christian fellowship is not just about me. It's about us being in Christ, being in His church family, about being members one of another. And to whatever degree or not that we think about these things or experience them, they are nevertheless true. Now, if you'll notice the list of things that Paul mentions here, teaching and exhorting or encouraging, giving generously, serving, showing mercy, does it cross your mind that aren't these things that all Christians are supposed to do? Aren't we admonished in Scripture to serve one another and to encourage one another and show mercy to one another and give generously and share our faith and make disciples by teaching what Jesus taught? All of those things are things that all Christians do. So why does Paul speak of these as gifts given to some and not to all? How are we to think about these spiritual gifts? How are they different from what is an ordinary part of being Christian? Well, if you'll notice in verse 6, there's a phrase there. According to the grace given to us. This tells us that there's something more going on here. That God gives certain believers an extra measure of grace in these things. Spiritual gifts are, in a way, a specialization in a duty, in a particular duty, that is given to all Christians. So, for some of us, some of these virtues, some of these gifts, come more easily, more joyfully, more fruitfully than they do for some others. And when that happens, there's evidence of that extra grace, of that being a spiritual gift. Some take unusual delight in serving, or in giving, or in doing mercy, or teaching, or leading, or exhorting. And in those situations, there the Holy Spirit has shaped their heart so that they find themselves just unusually drawn to those things. They can't help themselves. Now, when we consider the matter of spiritual gifts, there are in the New Testament at least four chapters that give us partial lists of spiritual gifts. No chapter has them all. That's interesting. And each of the chapters has some that aren't mentioned in any of the others. And all total, there's somewhere between 15 and 20 of these spiritual gifts. Peter has such a list in 1 Peter 4, and there he gives them in kind of a summary way, and he divides them into two categories, the speaking gifts and the serving gifts. And so that's how we're going to consider them this week and next. This morning, we'll consider the speaking gifts first. And these are, of course, verbal gifts, gifts that have to do with communicating God's word to God's people. I'm going to give a brief definition of each gift, and then after that I'm going to mention some of its characteristics and some of the cautions that go with that gift. And it might cross your mind, why do I need to mention the cautions? Well, because sometimes hearing the cautions will help you recognize, oh, okay, I get that, I see that in myself. Because you have that particular liability doesn't mean that you don't have the gift. It just means that you have the gift and you want to recognize that with every gift there are strengths and weaknesses. All of a sudden coming to my mind is one of the weaknesses of my teaching gift when I want to helpfully explain to Fema how things ought to be. And sometimes she doesn't receive that as a spiritual gift. Well, it is, but I'm perhaps exercising it in a way that doesn't recognize what I need to recognize in it. In any case, I also want us to remember as we talk through these gifts that they're gifts, they're graces, and they come in varieties of shapes and styles and degrees according to the Spirit and according to faith. So don't think that everyone with a particular gift is going to exercise it in the same way or to the same degree. We all have these gifts sometimes in varying degrees of weakness or strength. And by the way, all of this, these definitions and characteristics and cautions, it'll be on the church webpage tomorrow afternoon, or you can ask for a copy. I'll send you an email or print it out for you, however you would like to receive it. So as I talk through these gifts this week and next, just be thinking if any of them kind of stand out or if anything resonates with you. And don't be discouraged if you don't think that you have any of these gifts. There are more next week, of course, and more besides that. But also remember what I said, that in some measure, just as Christians, we are to do these things. So you can apply it in that way as well. So we'll start with teaching. The one who teaches in his teaching, Paul says here. In Ephesians 4, we're reminded that God gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers. So by way of definition, I will say that teaching is the Spirit-given special ability given to some to serve and strengthen the body of Christ, giving instruction in relevant ways, enabling people to grow in spiritual understanding and sound spiritual education. So individuals who have an extra measure of this teaching grace will find themselves enjoying hours of studying Scripture in order to better understand it and better apply it. They'll enjoy making the Bible clear and understandable to others, and perhaps especially in groups, whether small groups or large. They'll seek out opportunities to speak biblical insight into daily situations. They're able to help others learn to study the Bible and able to understand the biblical truth and then to make difficult things more understandable. And on the other side, the cautions that come with this, of course, is that you need to be careful about these things and watchful. You may appear to have all the answers and that there needs to be no discussion or conversation. Just take it as I say it. You may find yourself overambitious and excited in sharing too much information that perhaps quickly overwhelms others. But you have so much you want to say and you want to get it out. You may be so sure of your information that you might fall into the danger of communicating your thoughts as from the Lord rather than what is the truth in the Bible and what it says. You, of course, can become prideful because of your knowledge or hypocritical in not practicing what you preach. And, of course, as they like to say about people with this gift, sometimes you see the world as a really big ear and it's your job to fill it. So there's some characteristics and some cautions, but the bottom line, teachers should teach. That's what Paul says. You may have the gift and you're not using it. You may be using it outside of the church. You may be using it in your job. Of course, parents use it all the time at home. But where would God have you use it in the church? I hesitate because she will not be happy with me. But I had a meeting with Helene Eatma recently, and it was amazing to me to see a person so in love with the Scripture and learning and putting together from scratch, really, a Bible study on the fruit of the Spirit, drawing from the Old Testament and the New Testament. I think every woman here should go to Daughters of Zion. And I know you'd be welcome, all ages, but all those characteristics of a person with an extra measure of grace to teach and to explain and helpfully and for the common good. Just one example, and there are many among us. Please forgive me. Exhortation. I don't think I mentioned, because all of these gifts are speaking gifts, and they have to do with communicating God's truth, that there's going to be some similarity, some overlap. And I'll try to distinguish between them, and I'll give a little summary at the end. But exhortation, to admonish, to advise, to counsel, to comfort, to the one who exhorts in his exhortation. This speaks of encouragement through the Scriptures. There's a in Acts 11, we're told about Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement or son of exhortation. And Barnabas came to Antioch, and he came and he saw the grace of God. And he was glad, and he exhorted them, it says. He exhorted them to all remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Exhortation is the Spirit-given, special ability given to some to serve and strengthen the body of Christ by ministering words of comfort or counsel or challenge or rebuke in such a way that they respond. And so you might have an extra measure of this, an extra measure of grace for this gift if you motivate others through practical application of specific biblical truths in their lives. Or you tell others the truth about themselves with encouragement, with understanding. Or you challenge people to discover what they can become, and you point them to opportunities to fulfill those possibilities. You're generally more effective in short-term encouragement rather than, say, long-term counseling. And there are cautions, of course, with this. You can offer quick fixes and appear insensitive to the larger needs. You may offer too direct or too harsh of counsel and be insensitive to the real need. You might jump to conclusions because you didn't listen to the whole story or get the whole picture. Now, exhortation is a trying gift. Just ask any mother who tires of exhorting her children every day, again and again and again. Parents experience this, of course. So if you have this gift, don't grow weary. Exercise it in the strength of the Spirit. Use it to help others and to build up the body. So this person is sometimes taking teaching to the level of application, perhaps, to encourage or to strongly urge a person in the direction of truth and that truth be applied, that it be obeyed. To exhort is to press home teaching for application and action and change. I try to include application in all of my preaching and teaching. It is the goal to seek spiritual growth, spiritual change. Now let's look at this third speaking gift that Paul mentions, prophecy. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. God has appointed in the church some to be apostles, some to be prophets, preachers and teachers. We see in 1 Corinthians 14, one of those chapters where Paul teaches on the spiritual gifts. He says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. And the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. So, by way of definition, prophecy is the Spirit-given special ability given to some to serve and strengthen the body of Christ by speaking God's truth in ways that challenge or comfort or warn or reveal sin in a way that leads to repentance and spiritual growth. And you may have extra grace for this gift if you love to share strong biblical convictions. You view yourself as God's tool, ready to be used by the Spirit in impacting lives. You may find it easy to confront others' motives when they're not up to God's standards. You may feel a sense of urgency about calling people to the authority, truth of Scripture. You often please the cause of God to His people or to the world. And of course, you can imagine the cautions of being negative or discouraging believers rather than strengthening them, or being arrogant because of the authoritative nature of the gift, or just being too blunt at times or with certain people. Now, as you can imagine, there's a lot of debate about what prophecy was in the early church and what it is and what it means today. And I'm not interested in bogging down in that debate this morning. There is, of course, prophecy in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that were for the purpose of foretelling and of giving us the Scripture, the inspired revelation of God. And that is not the need today. It is more forthtelling, it's more speaking into lives, it's more having being sensitive to the Spirit and what God is saying. But this much we can say, that it involves speaking out loud on behalf of God the revealed truth and the will of God in a manner that convicts, that builds up, that encourages, as it says in 1 Corinthians 14:3, speaking to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Normal prophecy today is opening up the Word and will of God, proclaiming the Word of God, moving us toward holiness, strengthening our faith. And to exercise this gift, well, it's true of all of them, but Paul speaks of it here, prophesy according to faith. Faith in the Word of God, and a faith that comes out of humility, recognizing that it is God and not oneself. So I said at the beginning these speaking gifts overlap, so let me give a summary to help clarify and differentiate a bit. Teaching instructs the mind, explaining the truth of God's Word. Related but different, preaching proclaims God's Word with Spirit-given authority, pressing it to the conscience and calling for faith and repentance and obedience. Exhortation encourages and comforts and motivates the will and the affections to live in obedience. And prophecy proclaims God's Word for the edification of the church. Some have said, teaching gives us light, preaching gives us heat, exhortation gives us strength, and prophecy gives us edification. Much more, of course, can be said of all of this, but let me conclude. Has the Spirit gifted you in any of these ways? Are any of these gifts in you perhaps in seed form, waiting to be watered and nurtured through small ways of starting to speak up for the sake of the common good? Are there ways that God wants you to be a blessing to others because of the gifts that the Spirit has given you? It's okay to take baby steps, start small. What's not okay is to keep your gift buried out of fear of inadequacy or comparing yourself to others, out of some fear. Respond in faith to what the Spirit is doing and step out in faith to what He wants you to do. So pray. Ask for help. Be humble. And be bold in the Spirit. And of course, let's not be looking at others, at what they should be doing or not doing, whatever that might be, but rather to look at ourselves. What are we doing? If you see somebody struggling to understand, perhaps you can help them understand. If you see someone discouraged or defeated, down, perhaps you can encourage and lift them up with an exhortation. If you see a need, consider if God has actually made you aware of that need so that you can meet it. Now, we all have a voice. We are all able to speak. And we're all able to speak into the lives of others. So don't lose your voice. Appreciated Ken's song during the offertory. If you're like me, and like what he shared, we all have experiences of seeing an opportunity to say something and perhaps letting it pass by and then regretting it later. Don't lose your voice. In fact, ask God each day to use your words for His glory, to benefit and bless others, to edify and to build up. Put away foolish speaking and what is not edifying. Ask the Lord each day to use your words in the lives of those around you for His glory and for their benefit. We're part of the body. You have a part. The body needs you, and you need the body. Now, Satan will try to discourage you. He'll tell you lies. He'll try to make you feel unworthy. He'll try to get you to bury the gift. Don't lose your voice. Speak according to the measure of faith that God has already given you, according to the grace that He has given. And most of all, let me cast the net wide enough now that it captures us all. God has given us two high callings for our voice. The highest callings of all. To worship God with praise and thanksgiving, and to pray to God for ourselves and for others. So start and end each day and each week with worship and prayer. In this, God is glorified, and His purpose for you on earth is fulfilled as long as you have breath. Conclude with Peter's words in 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Father in heaven, thank You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit poured out generously, Lord. And we ask now that You will open our eyes, our hearts, to see more clearly this manifestation of Your presence, of Your power with us and in us, the very hand of God, as You set us to work for Your glory and for the sake of each other. In Jesus' name, amen.